In light of so many sexual misconduct allegations against high-profile men, we're hearing a lot of apologies, denials, and what some call faux-pologies. A faux-pology may sound like an apology, but doesn't include remorse. Joining me to talk more about different kinds of apologies is Dr. Dawn Gilpin. She specializes in public relations and social media at the Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University. Dr. Gilpin, when people in the public eye say members of Congress and celebrities face public accusations, how do you think they should respond?
I should probably say that a lot of my research has been about specifically dismantling the idea that there can be any kind of mass prescription for these kinds of situations. So I can't really give blanket advice. So much depends on context and, you know, what kind of accusation, who the person is, et cetera, et cetera. Generally speaking, though, unless it is really egregious and truly false and there is no kind of corroboration, et cetera, then an apology is usually the way to go, for especially in cases of sexual harassment or sexual misconduct in general.
What makes a good apology?
A good apology, of which we see very few these days, should, first of all, be extremely specific. A lot of what we see in these situations involves vagueness, trying to maybe diminish the importance of it while seeming to take some degree of responsibility, but without really saying who you're apologizing to, what exactly you're apologizing for, what you intend to do differently, how you intend to change. That's another aspect. You can't just say, you know, we all hate these faux apologies where somebody tries to offload the responsibility onto someone else. I'm sorry you're offended. And, you know, most people have got the message that that's bad, so they try to rephrase it slightly, and maybe they'll say, I'm sorry for any injury I may have caused. It's pretty much still the same thing. It's just a little watered down.
Well, we've heard some apologies that sort of have a disclaimer, like I was thinking of the former Today Show host Matt Lauer, Minnesota Senator Al Franken have both apologized, but then they have also said, well, some of the accusations are inaccurate or untrue. And I wonder what's your take on those apologies?
Again, generally speaking, I think it's a bad idea. You really lose some of the goodwill that you can gain from an apology, but you're really undermining your own point by saying, well, I apologize, but some of it's not true. First of all, doesn't seem to be then an apology in good faith if you're saying that some of what you are theoretically apologizing for didn't really happen. So you are failing the specificity test from the first rule. And then also, you know, there is a place such as a courtroom or an ethics investigation of someone where you can get into the nitty-gritty and the details about who said what and what's true and what's false, etc. But if you're going to give an apology, the whole purpose of that is to start a healing process by acknowledging actions that and harm and stating a desire for change or an intent to change by diluting that message with claims that some things were not true. It comes off sounding just petty and then insincere.
What about the whole idea of you're innocent until proven guilty? Should you stay quiet? Should you say, hey, I'm innocent?
Innocent until proven guilty is a legal perception. And yes, it doesn't mean that we should blindly accept anything that anyone says. Many, if not most, of the accusations that are put forth in the media are corroborated by the journalists. Reputable journalists don't want to go publicizing false accusations either of people in power. So some degree of corroboration, or at least to make it seem possible, plausibility has been investigated. So innocent until proven guilty is fine once we get down into any kind of legal consequences. But if you're not talking about sending people to jail or anything of that nature, and if there are credible, validated, verified witnesses or accusers that have come forth, we don't have to wait for some kind of an independent structure to declare guilt.
What are you going to take away from what we're seeing right now?
In recent years, the crisis communication field has been looking as into more nuanced approaches to how to figure out how to handle all kinds of situations. Obviously, not specifically just sexual misconduct, but any kind of crisis situation that an organization is involved in. What we have seen in organizational and CEO strategies is that for CEOs, it's best to do some kind of an apology or maybe make an excuse because people like to see individuals taking responsibility, especially if they are stating specifically how they plan to make a difference moving forward, what's going to change. They like that. It feels more authentic. When you're talking at an organizational level, and again, a lot depends on what exactly the problem is, but often what is seen as more effective is to just deny and hope it goes away soon, which it often does, or justify it. So that's a little bit more, it's a slightly cockier response to say, well, yeah, we did it, but here's our reasons. We can be accountable for it, but we're going to stand by what happened.
Don Gilpin is a public relations professor at ASU's Cronkite School.